Well, let's start with prayer. Our God and Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and as we get ready to read from your word, we just ask that you would come and join us. It wouldn't be a message without you. Lord, I'm just a mouthpiece. I just ask right now that you just send your Holy Spirit, touch each and every one of us. Let us take what we hear to heart and use it in the days and months to come. Father, we love you and thank you, and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. With this being the last state race, I wanted to read a little bit of scripture that I probably, those of you that know me have probably heard me read it before, but I feel it's pretty important. I'll just start with 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you." And that was Peter writing. He says, "I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.'" Yeah, if you go talk to people that aren't plugged into the church, there's a whole lot of them that don't believe in Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what they do. They're scoffers. I mean, they make fun of it. They don't, like, what the heck? I mean, nothing's ever changed. Nothing's going to happen and all that. And it's very easy to join in with them and get sidetracked and get your mind going the wrong direction, because the devil just loves that when people start trying to sidetrack you. It's his job. Now, he makes it his job to try to lead us away from Christ and make us miserable. So let me read a little bit more. This time I'm going to read out of Jude. It says, "Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. The certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. There are people even in the churches that try to mislead you. It's not just out in the world. Now, that first scripture we read, I mean, it's understandable that people don't believe in Jesus, that they'd be making fun of him. But there are even people that get into the church that try to mislead you. And it's kind of scary. And the reason I wanted to teach on that right now is, say, this is the last state race. Now that the season's over, they may be going to their home church again. And the majority of the churches are good churches, don't get me wrong. But the thing that I always try to make sure of is, you've got to read the Bible, folks. You got to read it for yourself. Because, man, it is so easy for somebody to try to tell you stuff that may not line up with what Jesus said back in the old days. And I want to read a little bit more. It says, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, 'In the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires.' These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit." There are people all the time that claim to be men of God that, in my mind, are not. Now, it's not my place to judge anybody. It's not. It is my place to look at people and say, "Now, he's not following Scripture. I can't follow that man." But as far as passing sentence on him, that's not my job to do. God takes care of that. But If you don't open the Bible for yourself and read it, how do you know when somebody is not telling you the truth? And you don't. And they've done studies after studies and, you know, stuff. The majority of the people don't open their Bibles hardly at all. They go to church on Sunday. They listen to what they're taught. And if the person standing up front's misleading them, they're not going to know. And that's scary. Folks, read your Bible. And make sure you read it. And, man, there's so many different translations out there nowadays. I mean, there's a lot of good ones. You know, NIV, NSAB, the King James, the New King James. And they're all good Bibles. Now, like me personally, I like reading the NIV, the New International Version. It's an easy-to-read Bible. I like it. There are some people that, like the King James, they don't think the NIV is all that good. Now, that's no problem. They can do that. They can read the King James. There's nothing wrong with it. The New King James, a good Bible. And there's a lot of good translations. The only thing I would say on Bibles is I always stick with the main names, the ones that are trusted by the churches. I don't go off to the little bitty brands and stuff, but that's just me. But if you read the Bible for yourself and you pray about it, the Holy Spirit will start pointing stuff out to you. And when you're, say, listening to the radio and you're listening to a preacher talking, when something doesn't ring right, all of a sudden a little yellow flag comes up. And you go, oh, wait a minute, I ain't sure I totally understand what he's saying. I need to research that. And it's so awesome. A lot of Bibles have commentaries in them anymore where you can, you know, look in the commentary to help you. And once you start doing that, the more you do it, the better you get at it. So when somebody starts talking weird stuff that doesn't make sense, you can check it. Check up on them. I mean, check up on me. I mean, don't take everything I say for granted. I do my very best to give you nothing but the truth, but double check me. That's what we got to do. You know, it's just like you take your car to a mechanic, you know, you got to trust that he's doing a good job. How many times you hear of people that he didn't? You know, you hear that, well, same kind of thing. But let me read some more. It says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. That's basically what this just said. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. In other words, study the book. I mean, understand it. And the Holy Spirit, man, it just fills you up and you know what's going on. And then it says, be merciful to those who doubt. So if you got friends that are questioning, hey, be merciful to them. Don't beat them up and go, oh, yeah, you just don't understand it. You know, you're an idiot. I don't think that's what they want us to do. Build them up. Explain it to them. Have a little Bible study at your house. It doesn't have to be with the pastor. You can sit there with your friends and go through the Bible. And you can explain it so the doubt will start going away because they'll start getting smarter. Or not smarter, more educated, I should say, because it's got nothing to do with smart. It's just knowing. It said, you know, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. In other words, man, spread the word. Tell people about Jesus Christ. That's how we snatch them from the fire. We tell them about Jesus. And when they know about Jesus and understand it, then they can make a decision whether they think it's true or whether it's not true. Me personally, you know, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he is my Savior. But before I was saved, I had questions. And just because somebody was telling me about him didn't necessarily mean I wanted to believe it. But the more you talk about it, and, you know, one thing that a friend of mine told me a long time ago, he was a preacher. He says, don't just go around beating people up with it, because that's not what I'm saying. But he says, you earn the right to speak into people's lives. When you're sitting there at the table, like say at work, having lunch, and if somebody brings a comment up or brings a question up, then you're allowed to speak. You don't have to sit there all day long with your Bible and going, You got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. All you're going to do is turn them off, and they don't even want to talk to you no more. But what you can do is when they say, you know, I believe about on this item, this is how I believe, then you can say, yeah, on this item, this is what I believe because of this is what the Bible says, and that's what I believe. God helps us. That's awesome. And then it says, to others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. In other words, don't hang out with people that try to mislead you. Some of them are pretty sneaky. I mean, the devil is very sneaky. And you don't want to hang out with people that try to mislead you. But, again, if you read the book and if you study some of it, those little flags come up. They, you know, I call them flags. I mean, you can call it whatever you want. You know, you get this notion that something's wrong or whatever you want to call it. You know, then you can check it to make sure you're not misled. But the one thing that's great about all this, to do this all on your own, without the help of God, would be impossible. So I'm going to read a little bit more scripture that goes right at the end of this last verse. It says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God of our Savior be glory, majesty, and power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. But at the very beginning, did you catch that? It said, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. God takes care of it. That's the one thing that's awesome with God. When you plug in with him, he doesn't expect you to do any of this on your own. Because if we try to do it on our own, we're going to fail. But if we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become children of God. And most of you here already know that. So now you're a child of God. Now you trust in God and you start listening to him and you start doing things his way. And the Holy Spirit comes and helps you. And by letting the Holy Spirit help you, that's how you succeed. And if you do that throughout the winter, you know, and you're plugged into your church, you're not going to be misled. Now, the one thing I want to make sure, I'm not standing here beating up on the majority of the churches because the majority of them are good ones. But there are some out there, and you got to watch. And I would not want somebody just to be led down the wrong path because they didn't take the time to read the scriptures. And with that, I'd like to close. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for this wonderful morning. A little chilly, but it's warming up, and we thank you for that too. But Lord, the biggest thing, you heard us teach, and you know what the point of this message was supposed to be. Lord, I just ask that you would touch each person here. Let them get out of it what you need them to get out of it. We can't walk this walk without you. We got to be plugged into you, and we got to know what's going on to help us stay successful. So I just ask that you touch each person here with the Holy Spirit. Touch them as we have the last state race for the year. Lord, be with us. Keep us safe. Let us have a good time. And as always, do it for your glory, Lord. And then as we part, we may not see each other again for a little bit, but stay with each and every one of us, Father. And as you bless us, that we might also bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.